Okay, we're going to begin in the middle of chapter 17, but as I was looking through my notes to see what I was going to talk about on the Parsha class, I stumbled on some notes that relate to a question, Peter, that you asked a number of months ago that I didn't give you a definitive answer. Do you remember what that question was, Peter?
No.
I've answered everything you've asked except one thing. I've hedged on
it. Oh, yeah, the Rubens.
That's it. Oh. Good for you. It's good when a person asks the question and still remembers it.
Oh, yeah, well, no, it was so satisfactory.
So, the truth is, I had known this for many years. I was digging up my old notes, but, you know, the power of forgetting, right? So, so the story's like this, that yes, the Peter is asking, what are these Kerubim of Shlomo doing with? Remember, this is back to chapter 8 and 9 of the book? So what about the original Kerubim that Moshe made? That Bezalel made. So the truth of the matter is, there were two Kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash time. Those, that Aron, that tabernacle with the cherubic-like figures that was made in Moshe's time remained for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that was placed in the temple. Okay? Now what King Solomon did was, he made a second set of Kruvim that were in addition to the first set of Kruvim. And the truth is, they differed in three ways. They differed in three ways. The first Kerubim were located directly on the ark. Number two, they were made out of pure gold. And number three, they were facing each other. The Kerubim of Shlomo's times were not on the ark, but they were on the ground. And their wings and their arm span, whatever, hovered all the way to very high to the top of the temple. Number two, they were made from olive wood and covered with gold. And number three, as the verse says, Upneim al Habayis, and they were facing the walls, whatever the different opinions said that means. So there definitely were two of them. So in this little piece that I came across, he was saying, so what was the purpose of Shlomo making them? So basically it's the same idea where Reb Chaim was saying, to contrast for the Jewish people the different relationships that existed. In other words, Shlomo was saying, basically the theme that was said in this person's article was that, you know, when the Jews are together, when the Jews are in trouble, the Jews are at their best. When the Jews become affluent, they become their worst. That's generally the way things go. So, therefore, the Kruvim in Moshe's times, they had to depend on God's sustenance every day. So they had to stay together. You know, it purified them. They were like gold through and through, you know, through and through gold material. They knew their survival would be connected to God, stay on top of the Torah. And therefore, they stick together. They'd be facing each other. King Solomon's times, because there was so much wealth, he knew that they were going to have the tendency to have different attitudes. And, you know, wealth and pride, and therefore their wings are way up, and they don't feel they're rooted on the Torah, but they're rooted on the ground. And they're not so 100%. There's the wood inside, there's the gold on the outside. And the truth is, they don't face each other. So he did that as a counterpoint to realize that you can fall into all kinds of problems with all the affluence that you have. So anyway, so that was the second set of Kruvim. And that's what the debate in the Talmud was about. That second set of Kruvim, based on different verses, were they indeed facing each other directly, or were they at a slant? So that's the whole question.
The Aron was buried by this time, wasn't it?
The first
Aron HaKodesh was buried.
Well, there's different opinions exactly, right, but it definitely was not in the Second Temple. That's for sure. It was not in the Second Temple.
These were the only Kruvim.
If they were in the Second Temple,
then the big one, Shlomo's Kruvim, were the only ones in existence.
Well, Shlomo's was the first temple, so I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
That's all the first. I don't know if there was a second Kruvim in the Second Temple. But definitely,
there's two sets of Kruvim then.
During the first temple. There were two sets of Kruvim.
One was Moshe's, the original.
The original one from Moshe, and then the ones that Shlomo made. And the whole discussion that Reb Chaim had in chapter 8 and 9 was on Shlomo's Kruvim.
So they were outside the Kodesh?
No, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but beyond the Ark, in the area of the Holiest of Holies, but not residing on the Ark, beyond the Ark. So so the whole discussion was related to that. All right, so now...
Because there's tapestries as well. The description of the tapestries, that there was also images of the Kruvim on the curtains as well.
Okay, so now we're going to continue. We're on page Nunches, third line from the top. It's been a couple weeks, so we'll just recap the last point that we were up to. We're discussing now how the three levels of soul, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, provide a model for a person to do tshuva. Right? This construct of human being is made as such to provide the avenue for tshuva. We talked a lot about the concept of tshuva last time. And then with the very last thing we talked about was the when we talk about the different worlds and levels of existences, one being higher than the other, we talked about the chain-link relationship. And then the last thing we talked about was the mystery of Keser Malchus, which we say, or Keter Malchut, where there are 10 Svirot in every plane of existence, and the lowest Svira in a plane of existence, that is called Malchut, and that one is interconnected to the highest level on the world below. The highest level is called Keser, and those two are like linked. Okay, and it is that aspect of Malchus that provides the stimulus for the Keser to come into being, and that we said was the whole idea of the concept of the acceptance of the yoke of God. That idea of the Malchus of God. When a person accepts upon himself certain missions and responsibilities, that reception of the responsibility is the first step towards creating a drive to go for it. And that forms the basis of the Keser, which really is, we said, the will for a person to do something. Okay, so that's the mystery of Keser Malchus. It's only confusing to remember it because Malchus is before Keser. It's called Keser Malchus. Alright? So in other words, you've got different worlds, okay? The lowest sphira of a certain world is called Malchus. That is directly above the highest sphira of the world that's directly below that, and that highest sphira is called the Keser, and that is like the will of the... Remember we said every world is divided up into five broader groups, and that sphere of Keser is a group unto itself, and that's the sheer will and desire. Okay? And that's the connection that's there. So now he's going to take this idea and now bring it into the human being. Okay? That's what we're up to. V'chein hu ha'inyan ha'gimu ha'bechines nefesh ruach neshama shel ha'adam. So it is, this very same thing, when we deal with the three levels of nefesh, ruach, and neshama of a person. Ki chol bechina midavar shebikdusha. Every level of any entity of holiness, kolol, it always contains me'eser bechinos pratim. It has 10 specific details within this level. Shemayud ha'sfira shalom. These are the 10 sfirot that it has. Now, v'abechino ha'elyona shel ha'nefesh. The highest, the nefesh is the lowest level of soul. So the highest aspect of this nefesh, which is called Keser, that's the highest level, nechezes, grabs onto, umiskasheres, and is tied up, im habechina hatachton hasiris, to the lowest, 10th level, shel bechina saruach, of the level of ruach, which is above nefesh. Right? Ruach is above nefesh. The level of soul of ruach is above nefesh. There are 10 levels within nefesh, 10 levels within ruach. So the lowest of the 10 levels of ruach, which is malchus, is connected to the highest of the 10 levels within nefesh, which is called keser. Right? That's the, like my fingers, okay, we'll say this is Ruach and this is Nefesh. Okay? This is the first level in Ruach, 10th level in Ruach. First level in Nefesh, 10th level in Nefesh. So now, putting them like at this point where they're interlocked, when I've come to the bottom of the 10th level of Ruach, that is the Malchus, so that intermingles with that highest level of Nefesh, which is the Keser.
You said this connects to what?
What?
The lowest level of Nefesh connects to what?
Doesn't connect to anything.
I thought it connects to the top level.
The lowest level of Nefesh?
Yeah.
That's part of the person.
But what does that connect to? Doesn't that connect back up to the top?
No, it's connected back up top through the chain link.
But not directly.
No. It's through the, he's going to talk about that. Through the chain. He's going to get to that very shortly. It's the bottom. The Nefesh is the rock bottom. It permeates within the body of the human being. That's rock bottom. It's the end of the line. It's not like a circular thing. It's the rock bottom. Okay? So we'll see. We'll see how we get anything in there. Okay, just hang on. Okay? So, now, v'habechinu ha'alyona shel ha'ruach. Now let's take it up another level. This is the ruach. So now the highest level of ruach, which again is the keser of ruach, miskasheres in b'china tachtona shel neshama. It connects and ties into the lowest level of neshama, which is higher than that. V'aneshama gamkein, and the neshama, third level of soul, miskasheres in mizdabekes, is tied up and is connected b'chimas sheresh neshama to the higher fourth level of soul, which is called root soul, connects as well, which is also called sod knesses yisroel, which is called the secret of the congregation of the Jewish people. Shishoresh haknesia shokol nishmas klal yisroel yachad. That fourth level of soul is the root of the collective pool of all the souls of the Jewish people put together. Okay, which we'll talk about more later in the book. But that's a very important thing to understand, as this chapter and the next few are going to be talking about tshuva. So therefore what has to happen, the purity and holiness that comes to a person ultimately has to come from the collective soul of the Jewish people. Because you're going to have to access and look for ways to reach higher levels of soul, as we're going to get to very shortly. So you're going to have to be able to reach those higher levels of soul. If that higher level of soul is the collective Jewish people, you've got to connect into that. Now, this is something very interesting now. Now we understand why on Erev Yom Kippur, what is it that all Jewish people do on the eve of Yom Kippur, besides eat?
Kaporas.
What else? Keep going.
Mikvah.
Keep going.
Oh, forgive each other.
Every Jew asks another Jew to forgive him. Okay, it's critical. That's what Gemara says. God can forgive basically all the sins that you do between yourself and God, but God cannot forgive for the sins between you and your fellow man. There's a lot to that. The simple meaning is, listen, God can't force you to say you're sorry to somebody else. He can't forgive for that. There's a much deeper meaning, because the truth is, if you haven't settled your account with your fellow Jew, you're going to have trouble accessing your highest level of soul, because your highest level of soul is the collective pool of the Jewish people. You've got to be able to connect into that. Okay? If you don't ask forgiveness from a friend or enemy, okay, that tells us you haven't connected to that fourth level of soul. Because that fourth level of soul is the collective pool of the Jewish people. If you were connected to that, okay, you wouldn't be fighting with your friend. Because just like you don't fight with yourself, you therefore theoretically could not fight with your friend, because that's part of yourself. But we're going to get more into that in a couple chapters. What do you want to ask?
I'm saying, like, what if you feel that it's not your doing? Like if you feel that it's it could be half and half, it could be, you know, the other person.
Go out of your way. again, it's like, you know, does your hand hurt your foot? I mean, this whole idea of there's a collective pool, that it's all one unit, where we all come out of that one unit. So we've got to re-enter that. And you can only re-enter that if you're at one with all the areas of that unit. Okay, that's not easy, but that's a critical, critical element to tshuva. That people, as we get out of the book, you know, in the next gate, he really gets into these fourth and fifth levels. In this gate, he's not going to get so much in the fourth. I'm just giving you a little taste of what's coming up over here.
It has to be a Jewish friend. I'm just trying to...
It's the collective Jewish pool of souls. It doesn't fit in.
It doesn't apply.
I mean, it's nice to be friendly with everybody, right? But you don't have this obligation. No, it's a collective Jewish soul. It's with Jews. It's got to be done with Jews. Okay? So that goes higher still yet, right? V'chein al zeh haderech, and we keep going, gam b'chinas shorsh and neshama. Then there's the shorsh neshama, that fourth one, gam kemiskasher slumala mala. It connects to higher than that, the shorish of the shorish, the root of the root. Goes even higher. Madrega, madrega, from level to level, ad atzmus ein sof baruchu, until the neshama, so to speak, touches the infinite. Till you finally connect to God. That's how far up the links it goes, till you reach God. Sure.
When you're saying that you have to ask forgiveness of the Jewish friend or whoever it is, if you asked for forgiveness or apologized, if the other person doesn't,
okay,
does it still?
No. Okay. Well, the law is you have to ask three times.
Let's say you ask three times and the person still doesn't.
Okay. Then you've done what you can do, and you've done your part to connect with the collective Jewish soul.
But do you actually have to hear the words come from the other person, "I forgive you"?
Well, again, you've done what you can do, and there's nothing more that there's left. The other person is considered a cruel person for not forgiving, and will have to deal with what he has to deal with.
You might have to make some amends.
Well, you are making amends. Obviously,
just
we're
the words.
No, it's not just the words. It's obviously beyond the words. It's got to be sincere. It's
got to
be sincerity. Well, let's say you stole money from the guy. You better pay him back. Right? That's for sure. Like, any damage has to be paid back. And then there's an idea of forgiveness. And it's got to be sincerely expressed. Okay, if you sincerely express it, you've done what you can and want to connect with that other Jew. And that Jew now wants to resist, so he's the one that is throwing the roadblock. And that person now is really in a handicapped position. But once you've done what you can do, that's it.
What if nothing is said and just sort of things go on? You talk to the person and...
You've got to say you're sorry. You've got to speak it out. You can't assume anything.
And do you have to be specific?
Okay, that's already... It depends.
Well, I'm sorry to everybody.
Well, let's put it this way. If you really know you did something to somebody, you got to go over to every person. Now, if it's too embarrassing, you can just say, listen, I've done certain things, and please don't force me to say what they are, because I'm too embarrassed to say it, but I want your forgiveness for it. It's better if you could even spell it out, but if you can't, then you just say...
The reason I'm asking this is I've heard tales of people just running helter-skelter saying, forgive me, that kind of thing, without really going into a deeper level of what they're doing. It's just the sort of the tradition that I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's going to be hard. You know, a lot of people you don't really have such strong dealings with, so you're just saying it, right? But there's a lot of people that you've got to make a strong point to make
sometimes
a serious...
Aware that you might have said something like that.
Yeah, a lot of times it could be something in shul. You really don't know the person. And you say, listen, just forgive me just in case I've done something wrong to you. Okay? But there are people that you are more intimately involved with that you'd have to have a much more sincere discussion about. Okay.
Family.
Especially family. Especially spouses. Especially siblings. Especially parents, children. Especially. Those are the ones we kind of forget, but those are the ones you probably hurt the most. So you can't assume. Okay, anyway, we're not going to get into a tshuva lecture now, but that's, I just want to bring that one point out. Okay, so so it comes out like this. So just like in the worlds, the highest part of one world connects with the lowest part of the world above that. Same with the three aspects of the human being is the same way. So really, so the human being in his own little world is only another example of the downgrading of the spiritual levels that is in the macro level of the world. Same kind of idea. So this area of connection, which we will shortly see, gives the ability for the Jew to do tshuva. Fine. Next paragraph. V'zesh amar Avigail to David. And this is what Avigail said to David. Avigail became one of David's wives. And she said like this, as she was speaking to him, she says, V'hoysa nefesh Adoni. And the nefesh of my master, speaking to King David, Tzrura b'tzrur ha-chaim es Hashem Elokecha, will be bound in the bounds of life with Hashem your God. Now it's an interesting word choice. What did she say should be bound? The nefesh. And the nefesh is which level? Lowest level. What does that mean to say? Ratzalaymer. Meaning to say, Shagam b'chinas nafsho, that even the lowest level of soul, which is the nefesh, Tistabek kivyachol bo yisbarach shemo, should be bound with the Almighty, as it were. Should feel that binding.
We use this on tombstones, don't we? This,
yes.
This quote.
Yeah. Nefesh, right? Tzur b'tzurachayim. It's an expression, yeah. Tun tzava. Taf nun tzadi veiz hey. You see on the tombstones, the headstones?
What is that
in? You'll see the letters. Tav Nun Tzadi Veiz Hei. Tie Nafsho Tzror Bitzror HaChaim. Let the soul be bound in the bounds of life. Right? It's the Nefesh. So we'll see why the Nefesh, why it's referring to the Nefesh. But the point is, even the lowest level of life is connected to God through this chain link process. Goes straight through, so it connects even to the lowest level. Alright, now there's a big paragraph there that quotes the Zohar. We've skipped three quarters of that paragraph to the brackets. Where the Zohar says, and I don't want to get into all to the fine details of this Zohar, just want to get the main idea of the Zohar. Just Reb Chaim is just backing up what he said in the next two paragraphs, going to give you what the Zohar says. He says, Kesheharuach ahi, when the level of soul called Ruach, Oila, it elevates itself, Umisateris, and becomes crowned. So what happens, Nefesh Ha'i, the person's soul, Miskasherish Baruachi, ties up with the Ruach. Right, that's the idea, that the Ruach connects with the Nefesh. Venasis Mueris Vimenu, and the Nefesh receives light from the Ruach. And then also, Varuach Miskasher Baneshomi, and the Ruach ties itself to the higher level of neshama. Uneshama hi miskasheres toch sof hamachshava. And the neshama ties itself to the bottom of the higher level above that, which the Zohar uses the term of machshava, which is the lowest level of chachma. Chachma, if you remember those levels of five we gave you, chachma, wisdom, correlates to shorash and neshama. It's another way of saying it connects to the shorash and neshama. She sowed, which is a secret, it's a mystic interpretation. V'nefesh ahi, and now we take the person out of his own being and raise it up to the cosmic level. And now the shorash sham of man hits the cosmic level of nefesh ruach and neshama. V'nefesh ahi miskasheres beruach hu v'elyon. And now that person's highest levels of soul connects to the macro level of the Ruach in the highest levels. Ruach Ahu, next page, Miskasher, B'Neshama Yibelyon. It ties up to the Neshama, which is the higher level of it. U'Neshama Yi Miskasher Spei Itself. And then its level of soul in the macro level ties itself to the infinite. Everything's connected. The whole system's connected. Because, and then, when the whole chain is intact, He Nachas L'Kol. It becomes like a resting place for all the levels. The Kesher HaKol Lamala Lamata unifies everything above and below. HaKol B'Sod Echad, all in one foundation. Okay, that's the idea over here. Meaning, ultimately, when the linkage over here is engaged properly, okay, everything becomes unified, and then a state of blessing comes down, right? So only not only are they connected, these different levels, and that they affect each other, but ultimately to the degree that a person is able to go up in each one of his levels of nefesh and ruach, etc., etc., the entire links become stronger. They reach up until the infinite in a much stronger way, and ultimately the blessed state comes down and filters through to everything in a much stronger way. So that to the degree that the components become unified, to that degree the blessing becomes down, because all the pipes are all linked up very nicely together. That's what he's saying. Ve'oz, the end of the paragraph then, ve'oz hi menuchas ha-nefesh l'mata. And then, thus, it becomes the resting place of the nefesh below. The nefesh below, in the body of the person, will finally feel its peace and good while it's alive. Okay? Even the lowest levels of the person, the nefesh, are there. They're receiving all the way from the top. And again, this expresses the dramatic difference that Judaism has with other religions. In other religions, it's like the soul is trying to escape and go back to the Creator. And in some religions, it's written in a way that almost as if to say the neshama made a mistake by asking to come down over here. Okay? And its life mission is to try to correct the mistake. Some religions even say this. But here, what Reb Chaim is saying, it's much different. The person is purposely completely interrelated and grows and falls together. And this meant that the body itself should be at peace as connected with everything. That's the whole idea. So although the nefesh is the very bottom, it's meant to connect all the way to the top. The next Zohar says the same idea. Go to the brackets. L'madnu kasuv, what does it say? V'hoisa nefesh adoni tzuro. What does Avigail say? That my master's nefesh should be bound. So the truth is, what word should it have said? What is the higher part of the soul that really connects with God? It's in the Shama. So the Zohar says, Nishmas Adoni Hayatzar Chol. It should have said the neshama of my master should be bound. Well, the neshama is the most part that we're cognizant of. Okay, when you go beyond neshama, you don't even know what you're talking about. But neshama, you can have some idea what you're talking about. So she should say that your neshama should be connected. That's at least something connected to you should be connected to God. So at least try to get the highest part that has some connection to you, and that's the nefesh. So why does it say that's the neshama? So why does it say the nefesh that's way on the bottom? That's what the Zohar says.
The nefesh, then you have everything above that.
Right, right. So that's what he's saying. Ella, but kemosher mar, like we said, sha'ashrei chelkam shalat tzadikim. Fortunate is the portion of the righteous. Sha'akol nikshar zebaze, that everything's tied in. Hanefesh beruach, that the nefesh connected to the ruach, beruach ben neshama, and neshama bekodesh baruch hu. It comes out the nefesh is connected up. The truth is, the best thing is if the nefesh is connected. That's absolutely correct. But so you might have thought differently. You might have had a non-Jewish thought and say, no, on the holiest parts of you connect with God, and that's it, and that's all you can expect. No, she's saying the whole idea is that even the lowest part of the human being can be connected up to God. That's it. Because of this chain link, even the lowest part can be connected. Although it's furthest away, so to speak, from God. Okay? But it still can be connected. V'zehu inyan, and this is the concept where the verse says at the end of Deuteronomy, Ki chelak Hashem amo. God's portion is his nation, the Jewish people. Why? Because Yaakov chevel nachalaso. Yaakov, Jacob, is the lot of his inheritance. Now, it's a very interesting word. The word chevel is used as a lot, as an inheritance. Usually chevel has a simpler meaning. Chevel means a rope. We referred to this in one of the earlier chapters. So what is he saying? Ki heim kechelek Hashem, meaning to say that they are all considered a portion of God. Why? Midubakim kivyachobo yisbarach shemo, attached as it were to God. How? Al yedei hiskashru sagilu b'chinas anal. Through the binding and the tying of the three levels. Just like kechevel akoshu l'mal, just like a rope that's tied above, umishtal shel yored ad l'mata, and it goes down and down and down till the bottom. So therefore the Torah uses a verb of chevel, of a rope, to show how that's all part of God's lot, even the very bottom end of the rope. Okay, so now, what we have so far, he's going to tell us, Reb Chaim, three advantages to this system of the chain link connection of the three levels of soul. He's now finished telling us the first one, and that is the concept of the proximate benefit of the setup. Okay, in other words, while you're walking in your body, okay, if all the components are intact and you've done everything properly, so even when you're walking in your body, if you've been righteous and you haven't damaged yourself, you can be literally walking around and feeling God's presence, even to the point of your nefesh in the body will feel connected. That's the first point he's saying over here. So you'll feel this bond with God even in your body. That's the first advantage of this system of how the soul is created. Okay, that's point number one, how he ends chapter 17. Now in chapter 18, he's going to give us the next two advantages that you get out of this. Chapter 18, Perek Yudches. V'chol ze, and all this is meiruv tuvo v'chasa god l'izbaruch shemo, is all from the abundant goodness and kindness of the Almighty. Asher chafetz la'atzdikenu l'heitiv achrisenu, that the God, he wants us to become righteous, he wants to bestow good upon us. L'zos hifli eitz, so therefore he came up with a wondrous combination. Ukfam v'inyanze, and he set us up this way. Shekol b'china, every level, mehagim aleilu, from these levels of soul, tiskasher b'abachina shala, it connects up to the level that's above it. Kidei sh'al yideze, that through this, yuchal adam lalos ulhiskasher mimato lamala. The person can elevate and connect bottom up. Ma'at ma'at, slowly, slowly. In other words, if there wouldn't be this ladder system, this rope system, it would be very difficult for a person, number one, to want to make this connection above. And number two, it would be very hard for people to be able to climb this level with these connections. But since it's there, so a person has this ability, but it depends on four aspects. Lefi, according to what? Number one, rovisko b'taraso. How much the person is involved in Torah. We'll explain what each one is. Va'avoda sayis baruch shemo, and his service to God. Ve'taharas libo, and purity of his heart. Ve'avas of yiraso, and his love and his fear of God. Achiyala, and depending on how he works on those four concepts, achiyala v'yizdabik b'tzorah achayim kivyochel s'ashem alokav, yiz baruch shemo l'fish resh madrigoso. So the person elevates and bonds to the bonds of life, as it were, with God, according to the level of what his soul is all about. So now this is point number two. Point number two is the way we're constructed allows us to climb infinite levels, and there is no reason why God could not expect all of us to become righteous. Why? Because it is innately in us. Okay? In other words, having the soul set up in the way it is with all these chain links, it enables man to climb higher and higher levels. Since you are innately connected to those higher levels, the only thing is, just like any ladder, you gotta put your foot in it and you gotta climb. Okay? The system can be set up, it can be a beautiful ladder, but you got to get on it, and you got to climb. As he's going to refer in the next chapter again to what he's mentioned before, the Zohar says that Jacob's ladder is a reference to the soul, right? And our mission in life is to spend our whole lives trying to get closer to God. That's what life's all about. Daunting task, no doubt. God is the infinite. How do we get closer to the infinite? But what Reb Chaim is saying, it's really not that hard. It's just an issue of climbing the rungs of your soul. That's what he's really saying over here. It's already in you. You are the ladder. You just have to climb yourself. Okay? How? So he says, through the mitzvahs, through the Torah, through fear of God, etc. So all these factors will allow you to climb to God according to the way your neshama is set up. So you can actualize the potential that's there to be able to cling to God. It's nothing that Nothing isn't expected that isn't there already. The levels are already put in place. You know, it's like snakes and ladders. It's just, you just gotta roll the dice and you gotta go up and make sure you don't get into any of those snakes, you know. But the system's there. Deal with each of the levels and move up through the levels. Okay. And now he says that there are four factors that will determine how well you're going to move through. The first one is Torah. If you recall the last time we had the class, we had the parable of the child wanting food directly from the father's mouth. Remember, the father's going to give him from the communal platter. And he said, I want to have it from your mouth. Right? Meaning to say that the roots of Torah come from the highest spiritual creations possible. We already talked at length about that idea. Torah being the highest form of creation that God made, right? If a person is aspiring to learn Torah, okay, that means that the person is surging up the ladder, because that's at the highest part of the ladder. It's way at the top, right? The person wants what's at the top, and the person is making their best effort to reach up the top. That's the climbing effort. Torah and mitzvahs, that's the climbing effort. That's what he says when he says his engagement in Torah. Then he says his avoda, his service, means to say, at different points of the ladder, when you're climbing a ladder, what do you have to do after every few rungs? Well, true, resting. And what are you doing when you're resting? When you're climbing a ladder, what do you usually do? It's a big ladder. Well, you look up. You see, how far have I got to go till I get to the top? You're looking where the goal is. And you hope and pray that you got the strength to make it to the top. A couple of years ago, when I had to do, I'm usually a big ladder climber, but I had to look at a building that my in-laws had, and we had to check the roof. So I had to go up this humongous ladder, you know, it's going like 20 feet up in the air, 30 feet up in the air. It was not a pleasant experience. So, you know, every five or six steps, I'm looking up. You're not looking down, that's for sure. And you're looking up the ladder. You're trying to see, like, how far I got to go. So at different points, a person has to have a scope of where they're going. Okay? Now, what is that in terms of our spiritual development? What is it that we do? So that is prayer. That is what prayer is. That's when a person turns to God to give him the strength to climb that ladder. As we will see in the second gate, prayer is a very important element in tshuva. Very important. And that's what prayer is doing. It's basically saying, where am I and how am I going to go further? And God, please help me get that way. That's the second point. Okay. So the real surge up the ladder is through Torah and mitzvahs. That's the real surge. But you can't just be surging all the time. You've got to be taking evaluations during breaks between surges. All right, that's avoda. That's prayer. Third point, he says, is taras libo, which means to say you could learn a lot of Torah, you could do a lot of mitzvahs, and you could do them for all kinds of reasons. And the truth is, you know, you'll be climbing spiritually for anything you do, but the degree of how far you'll climb based on every action will depend on how much you're doing them with purity of intent, which was the topic of 2 weeks ago Parsha class. The degree of purity of intent will give you a much more of a forward leap. Your steps will be more intensified in a greater measure based on the purity of intent that you have. You'll get more bang for the buck. Well, it's kavana is one thing, but it's more of that. It's the purity of the kavana. You're doing it because it's the will of God, as opposed to I'm doing it because it feels good. Right? It's a much deeper level, and it gives you much more thrusting power. Because that's the whole point of going up the ladder, is coming close to God, right? That's the whole point. If I'm doing the mitzvah because it feels good, doesn't mean I'm doing it because I want to come close to God. Purity of intent is that wanting to be close to God. That's the whole point. So that it's good to do an action for the rightest reasons. That means to come closer to God. It will make the action push you that much further. And obviously the fourth thing, love and fear of God, those are obvious. To the degree of love that you have for God when you're doing it. It's going to affect how far you go and how much reverence you have and how much you're afraid to hurt the relationship will affect that as well. Okay, so those are the aspects in which you can climb the ladder. So far he's mentioned two things now. Okay, the benefits of the division of the soul is number one, we said the proximate benefit, how you can feel the closeness of God within the lowest part of your existence. And number two, how relatively easy, theoretically easy, it should be to climb the levels of your soul. Because it's all there already built into place, you just have to climb it. That's the second one. Those he's just, you know, saying parenthetically. Now he's getting to the main thing. Bottom paragraph. Zos, all this, v'odacheres, and one third and most important benefit. Ki yesh kama avonis, there are many sins, 36 to be exact. Sha'nefesh hachotes ba'achas mehena, if a soul sins in any one of them, nischai v'kores o avadon chas v'shalom, he would be obliged to suffer the consequence of kores, being cut off. He's going to explain this now. This is the term you see in the Torah many times. Do such and such sin, kores, you eat chametz on Pesach, you get kores. What does that mean? Alright? The eating of koresu, and the concept of kores is as follows. Shebechinas ha-nefesh, your lowest level of soul, which is nefesh, nifsak, becomes cut off, broken. V'nichros mishrash ha-elyon, it's cut off from its higher root. V'yinate kachevel, and the rope is severed. Shayakosher medubakbo, which was connected based on the way the setup of the soul is, until now, are the hiskashus anal, based on the chain linking as we discussed in the past. So the links are all there. Once you do a certain sin, the link is severed. And everything that can come down to come into the nefesh can't come in anymore. This is a break. Let's go ahead and we'll see what he says. Samach. It says in the Zohar in Truma, go to the brackets, three lines down. The Eish Nefesh, and there is that happens to the Nefesh, the lowest level. Shekasuv Ba, it writes in the Torah, V'nichrasa ha-nefesh ha-hi milafone ani Hashem. In Vayikra, it says, and that soul will be cut off from before me, I am God. Mahu milafone, what does it mean, will be cut off from before me? Shaloshora alav haruach, the level of soul above that, which is ruach, okay, will not rest upon it and be connected to it anymore. Ukesha ruach ein ashora aleha, if the ruach will not be connected to it, ein lo chibur klal b'mash l'mala, so the nefesh won't have anything to connect it to. So let's say your ruach is connected to God, your neshama is connected to what? They're all connected to above it. But what's going to happen is all those connections will not relate to the most basic level of human life which you have, which is your nefesh. Okay, that spiritual connection just will not be there. It won't have that connection over there. So that lowest level of your soul will not be connected to God. Be totally oblivious to that type of existence. So you see from here, again, the very strong concept in Judaism of the total human being coming before God. That's how important it is. If the nefesh is cut off from the ruach, although the ruach isn't cut off from the neshama isn't cut off from the shorish of the neshama. But this is considered, in the Torah's eyes, a disaster for the human being. Why? Because a component of that person's level of life has no way of being connected to the other components. Okay. That's what we call kares. Again, chaf, resh, suf. Okay? In other words, a concept that there is some part of my life that has no connection to God is dismissed in Judaism. Shouldn't be in Judaism. It's a tragedy if that happens. If there's any part of me that's not connected to God, that's a tragedy. Okay? There's no, the truth is there should be no level of life that doesn't have its total meaning with a connection to God. And therefore, we need to bring all three levels of nefesh, ruach, and neshama together. If the nefesh is not connected to the ruach, then the person is ultimately losing in what his entire life experience is all about. Because that gift of life on that level of nefesh is totally unconnected and unrelated to God. That's what we mean that the nefesh is cut off. Okay, certainly together with that will be a tremendous desensitization of the human physical level to what spirituality is all about. Just totally cut off from that sphere of existence. Totally, you don't relate to it on that level of existence.
I don't know if there's more to that.
No, there's more. We're not finished. Why?
Because you see people that are not religious and still make a connection. There's something else there that is connected.
Oh, there's higher levels. Your ruach.
You're connected with
the ruach, a higher spiritual component, but not your lower part. You could be spiritual when you're spaced out, but you're not spiritual when you're talking to people and dealing in your body ways. That's you're losing that element. You're out. I'm very spiritual. Yeah, I pray all day. I connect through prayer, but I'm not connected to God when I walk down the street. I'm not connected to God when I'm working on the job. It's the nefesh level. When I'm eating, I don't eat like someone who's connected to God. Okay. Yeah, I could go pray to God, and my rapture connects with God. And when you go to heaven, that part will be connected to God, but that part of your soul of nefesh will not be connected to God.
So it's not only a vertical connection, but a horizontal connection. I was seeing it before as step one, step two, step three, but really it's both ways.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how it is vertical.
Well, you said...
Horizontal. It's vertical.
You said it's soul manifestation, but it's a parallel. Each one kind of independently connected, so to speak, but linked in the way ultimately it's supposed to be put together, vertical.
You just said that someone... pray and be spiritually connected.
Because you're tuning into ruach.
But the soul beneath.
The nefesh isn't part of that.
Day to day life is not.
Is not part of that.
So that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
So
I don't know which direction you want to call it.
Right.
It's semantics.
Yeah.
All right, but that's in the level of nefesh. You're just not there.
Okay.
You're not there, and that's in Judaism. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy.
Well, when you reach the 36 levels of sin, and there is, that's it. There's no more attention.
Well, of the nefesh.
The nefesh.
And there's different levels in the nefesh, different connections, as we mentioned a number of weeks ago, right? Don't give up just because you have courage doesn't mean give up. There's aspects of nefesh. This gets much more finely delineated. There's 36 ways to get karis. There's one aspect into your nefesh that's cut off. There's still other aspects of your nefesh that aren't cut off. Okay, so it's a very fine-tuned thing. I think that was the best example. You know, how your day...